Amen. God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to be with us each and every day of our lives as we walk on this path of life together with Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is from the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah at the 25th chapter. And he shares these words with us. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." God's holy word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about this word of God. And I want you to think about all the blessings that you have been given. And I want you to think about how we look at the scriptures and how we say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And how our hearts and our voices raise that triumphant song. But you know, this victory song that we have isn't victory for a lot of people. And in the late 1700s, it was not very joyful for one certain individual who is buried a short distance from King's Cross Station, London, England. Now, here, if you went to the cemetery, you would probably see a huge double trunk tree coming out of a grave with a stone that would be right up against the tree. And you'd wonder what it is. Well, there's a controversy with that because some people say this lady, Lady Anne Grimston, she believed in Jesus. She didn't believe in Jesus. Some say she was an atheist. We really don't know. But she didn't want, she kind of didn't believe in life after death. So she instructed those of her family that when she died, she was to be put in a strong tomb with a ironclad cover over that tomb. And to keep it from moving in place, there were supposed to be some iron fetters across that tomb. So, if God tried to raise her body, it would be very difficult for him to do so. And we know our God. We know our gracious God. And so, time kind of went by, and somebody walked by the cemetery and noticed a couple pieces of a tree coming out of that tomb and looked closer. And sure enough, a couple saplings were coming through that tomb. And as years went by, the tree grew and broke into two. So now, if you went there, you'd see probably this tomb that has this tree poking out of it. Wonders above wonders. God's never fooled. And God has control. And that's why we say he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Because this great God has given life to his son, Jesus, and broke open the tomb and rolled away the stone. Imagine the astonishment of the women who were going there to prepare Jesus' body and the astonishment that they had when they came up over the small little knoll and they looked at this tomb and, oh my goodness, the rock has been rolled away. And confused and bewildered as they sat there and looked in and tried to decipher what was going on, who took Jesus' body. Finally, the Holy Spirit starts to work on their hearts and their lives. so that they would understand that this Jesus burst open the tomb, that God raised him from the dead. He is risen. It is an amazing feast for all people. I want you to think about how God works and how God works in our lives. And as he prepares this feast of all feasts that Isaiah illustrates with all of this lavish feast set before who? Sinners. You know, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the end of that verse, he says, but the free gift of God in Christ is eternal life. He gives us eternal life. And he prepares this feast, this lavish feast of his grace and his mercy for each and one of us. It's prepared for us who are anxious. Prepares for us who are worried. It prepares for us, saying by his grace and his mercy, he will have us there in eternal life. And he will be there. We will be there with all the other saints and sinners who have been redeemed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a powerful message. This is the message that we celebrate today of Jesus rising from the tomb by God's grace and mercy. When I think of a lavish feast, I'll take you back a few years. Just shortly, probably about 60 years ago, Grandma and Grandpa Anderson were alive. And Grandma Anderson would always, she was a Swedish lady, and she would always prepare a lavish feast, huge feast. So Karen and I think it was a couple years after we were married, and we went to see Grandma and Grandpa Anderson. And Grandma Anderson had, now there's four of us sitting at this huge dining room table, and Grandma Anderson has it fixed from stem to stern, if you want to use those terms, with everything you can well imagine. And back then I could eat anything. And there was meat and potatoes and salads and desserts and everything. And of course I ate, and Grandma said, here, have some more. And I ate, and Grandma said, have some more. And I ate, and we left, and I'm going, oh, I don't feel so good. Karen just laughed at me. But think about this. You know, we set the table at celebrations. We set the table with plates and utensils and cups. And then we have runners, and we have napkins that are folded in the correct way. We have the fork in the right position, the knife and the spoon. It's all set. God has set that table with his grace and his mercy. That's all he has to set. A lavish feast for each and every one of us through that grace, through that mercy, and through that love that he has for us. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We are given a lavish feast in Jesus Christ, and it's set for us, for all of us. Now, this is the feast of victory. We've been singing about that feast of victory. You know, the world has a slogan, and we used to sing it, and the song was by Queen, "We Are the Champions." Well, when Andrew was playing hockey in the Interbantam tournament, that echoed throughout the whole arena. We are the champions. And it's not by grace or anything else, but we're the champions through what we do and our ability. Well, you and I can sing, we are the champions today. Not by what we do, but what he did, what God did. God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead to give us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. This is the victory that we have. An amazing victory. All for us. Oh, for us to bless us. To bless us with the strength. To bless us with the grace. To bless us with His peace. So that we may touch the lives of others. God works in mysterious ways. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm here before you to say that God worked a mysterious thing in my life. I was not headed for being a preacher. I had a doctor friend that wanted me to be a doctor. And he was pointing me that way. Well, God had other plans. God works in mysterious ways. And He brings His message to you so that you may share it with others. It's an anxious message. And sometimes fearful. And sometimes we're like the disciples. We need proof. We need to see. We need to see the evidence that God has done this gracious thing for all of us. In the war, Waterloo, when Napoleon was battling lots of forces and he was fighting against a force from Britain, and the commander of that force was Wellington. And people like to hear the news about such battles, and the only way that they could communicate was by light signals, having a light and doing kind of like an SOS type of thing. And so people in Britain were waiting for this message about Wellington and his forces, and so they started to see this Wellington defeated. And fog started to rise like London did and obscured the message. And people were thinking doom and gloom. And then all of a sudden, by mysterious forces, wiped out the fog and the message was again sent. Wellington defeated the enemy. Sometimes we get clouded by worldly ventures and worldly things that happen with our lives, and we see Christ, and then everything fogs up, and we see, and instead God wipes away that fogginess and says, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Christ's holy name. Amen.